Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. We greet you with the best of greetings. Peace be unto you. This is a greeting of Jesus. This is a greeting of Moses and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon him. Now all these messengers, they came with the same message. They never called people to worship themselves, saints, angels, nothing in creation but the one God. And they came with a complete system, a way to live your life, not according to your whims and desires, but according to how the Creator wants you to live. It'd only be fair if he set a complete way of life. Otherwise, it'd be left for you to figure it out. And you'd be making mistakes here and there, bumping into this and that. So God is the most just, and he's the guide, so he sent the guidance. On this episode of the Deen Show, we're going to talk about that complete guidance and how it was implemented. How it was implemented. We're going to go a little bit way back in history, and you're going to see when those who submitted themselves, the Muslims, when they implemented Islam and the law of God, Sharia, some people get a little nervous here. So you're going to learn about what Sharia means and a practical example of when it was implemented and how wonderful things were when we come back here on the Deen Show.
Deen. Allah. There's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
Alaykum assalam, peace be unto you too.
Sheikh Waleed.
Yes.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Good, alhamdulillah. Thank Do you know you. Sheikh Waleed Basuni?
Of course, I love him so much.
Yeah. So tell us now, okay, we have so little time, but this is a vast topic.
Yes.
And at the end, we're going to direct people where they can go look into it because you're actually teaching a course on this. Sharia. This is something when a lot of the not yet Muslims, they hear this word, they say, we don't want no Sharia over here. They don't even know what it means. So let's start off there before we get into our main topic. What does this word Sharia mean?
Sharia is simply, if we want to define it, it's Islamic law, if we want to translate it this way. Because it is it is law that is decreed by God, because when you think about it, God, or Allah as we call him, he's the one who created human beings, and of course the one who creates knows better about his creation than anyone else. And this is even if someone invents something in this life, they know about it better than anyone else. So the one who created the human beings is the one who knows what works best for them.
And you said Allah, so we're not talking about a man inventing this or the moon inventing this, we're talking about who?
The creator of the universe and the human beings and everything. This is the Islamic definition, which is, it means the law that is decreed by Allah to the human beings. And it's two parts. There is one, the law of worship,
yeah.
And then there is law of dealings, meaning the trading, the dealings when human beings deal with each other or
yeah.
deal with anything else, even nature, anything else. There is a law that governs the Muslims and their life, and this is the ideal law that is Allah has told us about. And of course we have parts that Allah has made, or God has made, that it's the same, it's fixed, it doesn't change based on time and place. But then we have the other part, which it's flexible, and people, depending on where they live and what time they live and where they are, they could adapt these laws to suit the environment that they're in. And an example for that, if you want to...
Yeah, give us an example.
So let's talk about, for example, the laws of trading. So interest is something that is fixed. It's always wrong. And it's always forbidden in Islam because it always leads to a lot of destruction. And we have seen that. We are actually witnessing this at our time.
Right now.
When we saw the recession and everything, that no one could argue about it anymore. It might, in the beginning, some people might get a gain of it, while other people are losing, but we could witness what it causes to the worldwide economy in general. So that's something that is always forbidden in any time, in any place. But, for example, in the laws of trading, there is a flexibility for the currency. We could use gold and silver. We could trade with each other things directly. We could use paper money. We could use checks. Islam here leaves things flexible so that people could deal with whatever is comfortable to them. So we have part that doesn't change because there is always a constant harm throughout history. And then we have the parts that are flexible so that people could adapt it based on where they live and what time they live.
Now, did Jesus, Moses, Abraham, did they come with the Sharia also?
Of course, yes. Now, all religions or the previous religions, they are actually Islam, which means the submission to God. Because we as Muslims believe in all the previous prophets that came before that were mentioned in the Quran and in Hadith. And of course, certain laws, as we see, are the same in Islam as in other previous religions. But also there's laws that have changed because human beings change. And we know this as a fact from different time periods. So based on those changes, the law has changed. But however, since Islam is the final religion, or what Prophet Muhammad came with, since we said it's all Islam, what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came with, then this was, at this time, this is the final revelation of the religion that would be followed till the end.
So you mentioned what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, last and final message sent to mankind, came with Islam, but did Jesus, Moses, they all did Islam, didn't they? Because Islam means to acquire peace by submitting, like you said, to your will, to God's will.
That's correct. The creed or the belief doesn't change. Our belief about God, our belief about the angels, our belief about the messengers, that part is fixed among all the messengers. The part that changed is the law, because human beings, again, the environment and the surroundings were different at the previous messengers. But since Islam, as we said, it's the final religion, then that part, there was a part that is made in the law fixed and part that is made adapted.
So just before we go on into our main topic,
yes,
as we said, all the messengers came with the same message: submit to the one God, worship the Creator, not His creation, and do the good that God wants you to do so you can get to paradise. So they all came, they were all Muslims, because a Muslim is one who submits to God. Mm-hmm. They all came with the Islam, worshiping, submitting to one God, and they all came with Sharia, God's law.
Yes.
So now we're going to go into a contrast. Before, and we're going to use one part in history, because people can go and look this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, most of the media are trying to create a fear frenzy, and they throw out these Arabic words, and they don't even know what they mean.
Yes.
And they create this sensationalism, and we hope that the media and all those, because we care, we're sharing with them, that they can come to the Deen Show, and they can learn about Islam, so then we can all live in peace, because then this fear will be eradicated, because if you're creating fear, then you know what? People are obviously not going to be more in tune to collaborating, working together, and we want to work together. So we need the proper education, and that's what we're trying to do, and sitting with scholars such as yourself, so then we can all come to this proper understanding. Now, when we come back, you're going to talk to us about Spain. How's that?
That's excellent. Looking
Spain.
Forward to it.
Okay,
yes.
So we're going to be right back mm-hmm. here on the Deen Show to give you an example of when God's law, Islam, was implemented and how people were living in peace. We're right back on the Deen Show.
I was born about 60 years ago in former Yugoslavia, today's Bosnia. After Second World War, can you imagine today you have one child killed too much?
It's important that we realize that Islam is a gift. So we believe that in the teachings of Jesus, what is left, there is truth in there. But the truth has been mixed up with paganism and with nature worship. And so Islam has given you a pure, straightforward way of approaching monotheism.
Sheikh Waleed, go ahead now. We're back here with you. Go ahead and take it away. Talk to us about Sharia and Islam and when it was implemented in Spain. Talk to us.
Yes, thank you. I had the pleasure to go to Spain this year, and I witnessed over there the Muslim heritage and how the Spanish culture was affected by Islam. Now, if we want, because many people say, okay, so how did the Muslims get there in the first place? And there's always this misconception about the Muslims trying to take over the world or something. People might be scared when they hear about this term in the beginning. But how did it happen? And also that Islam spread by the sword and all these misconceptions. But Spain, or the history of Spain, is the perfect example of how that was not the case. And the best way to know this is to compare and contrast between Spain before Islam and Spain after Islam.
So we'll start with before Islam.
Yes, so we'll start before Islam. Now again, some historians, they call the Muslims that they have occupied Spain, for example. But why wouldn't they call other nations that came into Spain before them this? So Spain, there was people living there tens of thousands of years ago, and then the Romans, they took over the land of Spain, and then the Visigothic kingdom, the Germanic tribes, they came and took over from the Romans after the around the 5th century, they took over, and then after that, around the 8th century, in the year 711 specifically, that's when the Muslims came. Now what happened and how was it before and after? So in order to understand, before the Muslims were there in Spain, there was a king called Rodrigo, and this king, he was ruling Spain by force and by dictatorship. So people actually before Islam over there, they were paying so much taxes, more than half of what they're making. And we're not just talking about just the rich or those who have businesses. Even the poor were forced to pay that tax.
So they were paying like 30, 40, 50% of their earnings?
Yes, more than that, actually. And it was taken to them by force, sometimes whether they worked or not. Yet at the same time also, there was a lot of spread among... it was spread over there a lot of evil. So for example, people were afraid because there was forceful rape by the soldiers who were there.
Soldiers were raping people before Islam?
That's before Islam, and there was chaos. There was a lot of stealing, and there was a lot of killing, and this was all, this is documented. You could check this even in the non-Muslim history books, how Spain was before Islam.
Crime was at an all-time high, rape, denigration of women, subjugation of women, everything was just upside down.
That's correct, and we're going to see this actually once the Muslim came, how people who were in Spain reacted to when the Muslims came. And when the Muslims, they entered the country over there, and King Rodrigo, he was fighting in the north. He had some internal conflicts, which won't go through much. But when he heard the Muslims there, and he came with his army, and the Muslims were outnumbered by 1-8, yet they were able to defeat that army. It was, again, they weren't killing civilians, it was soldiers.
So what you just right here, you said, okay, so there was no killing, it was a complete constitution, Islam, where there's no killing of innocent women, children, none of this was going on.
That's
by the Muslims.
Yes, it was soldiers against soldiers, and that's what happened. Now, after that period, it was documented that some of these soldiers, because they were forced to fight by the King Rodrigo, and they were not getting anything out of it. And you could imagine that one evidence for this is, even though they were outnumbered by 8-1, they were able to defeat them. After that, when the Muslims, they went to the towns and villages one by one, first, of course, when any new nation arrives, people are afraid normally, because you're afraid of what you don't know.
They're a little bit timid.
Yes. Yeah. But when they saw how the Muslims, first of all, the people don't have to pay those huge taxes anymore.
That's cut out right away.
That's completely cut out.
What do they have to pay?
Then they have the choice. Either they accept Islam, and this is done, there is no compulsion or force in the religion.
So it's not someone put a knife on your neck and say, accept Islam, is this allowed?
That never happened, because...
Doesn't happen.
And the proof for this is because even when the Muslims ruled Spain for 800 years, the Christians and the Jews and other religions as well were living there. And they existed there until the
peacefully
Muslims...
Peacefully together?
Peacefully together.
Christians and Jews. Well, I heard that this was like the golden ages for the Jews in Spain. Is this true?
That's correct, yes. That was the golden age. And they were protected by the Muslims. But once the Muslims were defeated and forced to leave, that's when the Inquisition happened, and they were killed. And this is a historical fact that we can't hide. They were killed in the Inquisition and tortured by the Catholics, for example.
So the Catholics killed the Muslims and the Jewish.
And the Jews as well.
That was the Inquisition.
Yes, and at that time...
That, Jews, Christians, Muslims were living in peace?
Completely in peace. And that's why we saw even... There's some scientists from Jewish people as well who flourished under the Andalus empire. Yet, again, we always say Islam practices tolerance without compromise of the people or the religion.
Was so this under Sharia law?
This was, yes, under complete Sharia law. So,
wow.
So what happened is people there, when they saw how the Muslims were treating them very nicely, the soldiers there were protecting these villages from, they were protecting the order, like acting like the police. So peace came back to these cities and villages. And at the same time, those people, instead of paying these huge taxes, they only had to pay if they don't want to accept Islam.
Yeah, let's go back. So you said they had a choice now. They can accept Islam
or they could,
or be killed?
No.
Not?
No.
Okay, so that's a misconception.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other option is they pay just how much? One gold coin a year, if they could afford it.
What's this called?
This, they call it jizya.
What does this mean when it's jizya? They get nervous and scared about this jizya, which is actually a lot less than the 50, 40, 30%. Is that right?
Of course. If the people, this is only for the working people who could afford it. If the people were sick, if it was the women, if they were also the senior, actually they get paid under Islamic law. They get paid. If they have any needs and no one is there to fulfill their needs, the Muslim government would fulfill those needs for them. But this, even that gold coin was paid, that they paid it for their protection. So if someone was gold and for example, and fight with the Muslims to protect the nation, he wouldn't have to pay that gold coin.
There was a story that I heard, maybe you can elaborate on this, where the Muslims were protecting the Christians, another group of Christians came to fight the Christians, and the Muslims were defending the Christians because they were living and paying this tax, the jizya, and they weren't able to fight off the Christian army that was coming to fight the Christian army, so they gave them the jizya back, but they tried humbly to defend them. Did you hear cases like this?
Yes, and there's even later in history that happened. For example, the later Ottoman Empire, they were protecting the Netherlands, the Dutch people, who were Protestant, the Muslims were protecting them from the Catholics.
Yes.
And there was actually an economic relationship between them, between the Netherlands and the Ottoman Empire. So that's another example in history, that the Muslims, they in this case, they protect the truth. And even you were just mentioning the what happened to the Jews. Now, many people don't know that when they were prosecuted in Spain, who did they seek refuge to at that time? They sought refuge to the rising Ottoman Empire. So the Ottoman Empire, the Muslims, protected them from what was happening to them.
The Muslims were protecting the Jews also.
Yes, they
were
protecting
them. This is known in history.
Yes.
You just got to do your homework.
Yes, this is well documented.
Why is this false information now spreading like Islam is the enemy of everyone? Islam doesn't want peace. Muslims are okay, they'll say. Muslims are good people. But it's Islam we need to worry about. Why do you think this is?
There's two things we have to pay attention to. First is getting educated about Islamic history and all history. And the other thing is we have to distinguish between Islam and Muslims. Islam is the perfect religion from God, submission to the one God. But the Muslims, some of them are good. Some of them are not following the religion correctly. Some of them may do wrong things, but that should not, as they say, don't judge the car by the driver. You could have the excellent car and a reckless driver, and if you want to test really that car, you should have a good driver behind the wheel. So we have to always distinguish between the teachings of the religion and what people are practicing.
Great. So tell us now, so the tax was eliminated. This high tax is killing the people. Now they go and make so much money, now they got to give half of it or more to the king. Islam comes, now the people can keep their money, they're paying. What is this equivalent to, the amount, the jizya that they're having to pay? What is it equivalent to?
So if you calculate one gold coin right now, you would know, I mean, how much the gram of gold equals right now. And I'm not sure.
Is it 10%, 5%, 2%? What is it equivalent if you put a percentage on it, taxes?
It's not really a percentage because, as we said, it's a fixed amount that you would only pay if you are working and could afford it. And
what do you compare it to, the 50% compared to that one coin, so people can get a better understanding?
Yeah, actually, it wouldn't even be a comparison.
You can't compare it?
You can't compare them. So, well, it did sometimes, we have to also be historically accurate, sometimes they increased it to 4 gold coins because certain certain elements, like for example, there was some friction or wrongdoing from the other side. And there is a few exceptions in history where, for example, someone misused this law to get that. But as we say, these are the exceptions. We always, in every time and in every place, we're going to find people who are the exception. They don't follow the law. They do it wrong. They use it, or they use Islamic law for their own gain. And we have to be fair. I mentioned that this did happen. Okay, so when you read history, you know about it. But we should not, as we say, put the microscope on them and try to make that all Muslims throughout history, every time, because they did this.
That's the defect because, of the Muslim.
Yes, that's what happens. Sometimes we choose certain bad parts of history, and everyone has bad parts of history.
Yeah.
And we try to, or the media tries to highlight those parts.
Let's hold it right there, and we'll be right back with more here on the Deen Show. He is the
maintainer. Coming to the truth requires two things. It requires deep thinking that you've already done, but it requires another step, and that's courage. If you have the truth, but you don't have courage, you won't stand up for the truth. And that's as good as standing up for falsehood.
I would say this thing that you just told me, it's not in the scripture. And they would say, a marginal note added by a scribe, yeah, okay, we know that. And I'd be thinking, if you know this is not the Bible, why are you preaching it as if it's gospel truth? I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Peace be unto you. Welcome back to the Deen Show. And we're talking and giving a live historical example of when God's law, Sharia, the same way Sharia was implemented during other prophets' times, now you have it here. Islam also, which is the call to acquire peace by submitting to the one God, submitting your will to the will of the Creator of the heavens and earth. And we're showing the justice. We're showing that the tax was eradicated. And now, we mentioned earlier the contrast between the two. You had rape of women. You had crime. People were scared because the criminals are out. What happens now when Islam takes over?
Yes, when the Muslims took over eventually, we'll see first that one of the things is once they did this model of applying the Sharia law, the news spread about how fair they were treating people and everything. That to the point that they were able to be they were able to easily go from village to village and have a presence there. And in 3.5 years, all of Spain was under Muslim rule. And just within about 15 to 17 years, the vast majority of Spanish people who were living at that time there, they accepted Islam. And that's how it became. Many of them we will see. The soldiers, the number of them who initially came was first 7,000 and then 12,000, and it was about 30,000, but people accepted Islam in masses who were living in Spain.
Voluntarily.
And
under no coercion.
That's true, and the only part that was left, because it was surrounded by the mountains, was the Basque region in the north. So, because why? They saw the manners of the Muslims, and they saw that the soldiers were there to protect them, not to steal from them, not to rape their women. They have never seen anything like this. And even that's what they, there's something they said when they went to report to the Spanish king. They said, we've seen people that are almost like people who came from the sky. Why did they say this? Because they saw them normally at that time around the world, when a new nation comes, they are trying to take over by force, to steal the money, to steal the land. The Muslims did not do any of this
that's
at all.
They
came and they said to them what they want. And they said, we're just coming here to let you know about the religion of God and whether you accept it or not.
Yeah.
And then they spread the peace. And this was something common that the Muslims did, even in the same time frame. Egypt was under the occupation of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was taking all the resources of Egypt. When the Muslims came, they defeated the Roman Empire. And so Egypt, within a few years, also became, the vast majority of them became Muslim, because the Muslims saved them. They didn't use their resources. and they didn't use their resources, and at the same time, the Egyptians who were there were able to flourish under the Islamic law, and they had that type of protection.
So the agenda of the Muslims was not to rob and pillage, rape. This is against the teachings of Islam?
Yes, not to steal the land, not to steal the money, not to rape. It was for the spreading of the religion, but as we said, not by force.
So you can accept that, look, there is a creator, and just worship him alone. And do the good that he wants you to do. This is the message of Islam?
Yes, that's true. And when they went to open a new region, it was when they were not able to give to preach to people there. Because we saw, for example, in Abyssinia, or what they called that time al-Habasha, around Ethiopia, over there, that the Muslims were there, and they were living under a Christian king initially, yet they were there living peacefully, and they were able to give the message peacefully to others. But when other nations at that time were oppressed, like Egypt was oppressed by the Roman Empire, and the Spanish people was also oppressed by the king, that's when the Muslims are not able to tell people about their religion. So they have to go and defeat those forces that are taking the resources of people, save them, and then at that time people would have the choice and they would live under the peace of Islamic law.
That makes so much sense. It's simple. But you know what? People are getting a better understanding. We almost only have a couple more minutes. Tell us another few of the unique things when the Muslims ruled Spain. Everyone else was in darkness, wasn't it? And inventions, Muslims were at the top and pinnacle of science, inventions, and what other things?
Yes, and science and inventions, to the point that even the elite, the kings of Europe at that time, they were sending their children for scholarships to study under the Muslims in Spain. And they had the largest universities in the world over there, the University of Cordoba over there. And Cordoba had the second largest library in the world after Baghdad. Baghdad was the capital of the Islamic Caliphate, the Abbasid Caliphate. In Cordoba, they had 500,000 books at that time. When the largest, at that time it was recorded, and this is again in non-Muslim sources, you can check this, that the largest library in Europe at that time was in Rome, had about 2 dozen of books, not more than that, 30-something. And at that time, the trade of books has flourished through the Muslims, that they were also getting the paper, and they were writing, and they were translating all the sciences from all over the world, but then they built on it, and then Europe built, again, their renaissance based on what the Muslims have achieved at that time. During
so Muslims weren't persecuting scientists like some religions. They were what, leading in science?
Yes, they were leading, and it was also a chance for scientists from other religions to flourish under Muslim law. They were not prosecuted, they were not killed, as long as they have the freedom to explore any topic, as long as there is no blasphemy against God. And this is something we have to... this is expected because he's our creator and we have to respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, Allah the glorified. But other than that, they were able to explore in any field of science, and they could do other things through debate and talk. There is no cut on the freedom of speech in this. If they want to talk and have a dialogue between the Muslims about their religion, there was this freedom. And we could check this. The best way to check this is through the books that survived from that period.
So you also are doing a course about this. Tell us in the last, got just, you know, 20 seconds, tell us, because we just wanted to give them a taste, and people who will verify this, they can also take your class.
Yes, absolutely. In this course, we're trying to show intensively in 16 hours about give them a flavor of that history of the Golden Age and what happened, and also at the same time we will admit that there's also mistakes, and we want to learn from these mistakes so that we don't do them again. We're trying to, for people who can't go to Spain, we try to bring Spain to them so they will get to see shots of all of these places that remain from the Muslims and how they're used. Even until today, some of the technology that the Muslims developed, like the water canals, there's still, if you go to Zvil, you'll be able to see them between the trees, how the water goes. And that's just one example of it. If Allah wills, this will be produced in a book by next year, and people could also get this book through our website.
Thank you very much. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. And thank you for listening. We gave you an example when Islam the call to acquire peace by submitting to the owner of peace, the one who created you, the one God. People were living in peace, Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And you can go verify this, check this up, and do the right thing. If you're looking for guidance and you like what we had to say, ask the one who created you, him alone, to guide you. And even if you feel, you know what, it's not time for me to submit, I want to do my own thing, at least you got to understand us a little bit better. You can always reach us at 1-800-662-ISLAM to learn more. And we'll hopefully see you back next time here again on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be unto you.